Good morning and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner. We're at Applebee's in the sports bar, as always, on the I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan. They're open as they open right up at 11, open for lunch. Of course, they have the dining room and the sports bars here. Of course, they have the televisions on with all the sports you can handle with college hoops. I think there's a matinee NHL game today on ABC, all kinds of stuff. Red Wings play tonight. Of course, open for post-game Laker hockey activities. And, of course, Sioux High boys basketball is playing today as well. Good place to come and grab a bite to eat. And perhaps if you're of age, have a sarsaparilla and enjoy your Saturday. And we say good morning to everyone here from Applebee's. And I'm your host, as always, Dave Watson. Our broadcast engineer is Izzy Stratton, working our variable resistors at the Radio Sioux Studios in Sioux St. Marie. On the corner today, we will talk to Sioux High swimming and diving head coach Steve Abusta, and we'll get a recap of the UP finals and the season for the Blue Devil swimmers this year. Second half of the show, Blue Devil girls basketball head coach Pat Bennon will stop by. All that this week in high school sports, what's on deck, and much more here on Coach's Corner. But first, to the scores that matter from last night. Let's start on the ice, and with Sioux High hockey in the playoffs in Gaylord against the Gaylord Blue Devils in Region 18 semifinals at the Otsego Sportsplex. Blue Devils started out flat. They were able to come back. It was a high-scoring game, but they fall to Gaylord 7-4. Disappointing end of the season. This was a 500 pretty much a team for Sioux High for the Blue Devils this year as they finish up at 12-12-1. A young team, if they can keep everybody together intact, or the majority of them going into next year, they should be a pretty good hockey team, as this is a team that very much improved. But they were a 500 team. And with 500 teams, it's a roller coaster. Sometimes you get good, sometimes you don't. And last night, they did not perhaps have their best game. Their season comes to an end, 12-12-1. They lose to Gaylord 7-4. Gaylord will play Alpena in the Region 18 final on Wednesday night at 7 in the Alpine Village at the Otsego Sportsplex, where radio broadcasts go to die. That place is a nightmare to broadcast from. That's why I wasn't there last night. Elsewhere in high school hockey, in the playoffs last evening, Houghton will take on Calumet, rather, today at noon. That will be at Michigan Tech. Traverse City Central in Division One is at 1 o'clock puck drop against Freeland in Bay City. That's in Division Two, or Division One going on. In Division Two on Tuesday, Marquette battles Escanaba in Nagani for that Division One final, as Escanaba won a marathon the other night in the semifinals over Kingsford in four overtimes. They'll play Marquette in that region final in Nagani, and that will be on Tuesday. Regional final play, it will be Grand Rapids Kenowa Hills taking on the Grand Traverse Bay Area Reps, also on Tuesday in that region championship as well in Division One. Laker hockey, big win. The rest of the hockey teams in the area had huge wins last night, and it starts with the Lakers over Bowling Green, 5-1. Logan Genuine had a hat trick in the game. Louis Bedone had a solo tally, as did Brandon Percelli in that win. Drama in the third period. Bowling Green had a player that took a game misconduct. There was some yapping going on, and he wasn't happy with the call, as there was a little bit how do you do towards towards the penalty box area and the off-ice officials area. And of course, this adds to the drama of the weekend as those two teams vying for a home playoff berth. And that player for Bowling Green will be able to play tonight in a game misconduct. Who will not be able to play is Lake Superior State's best defenseman, Jacob Bengston. He was given a 5-minute major and a game disqualification for a kick attempt with a skate. That's a no-no. And that's a big no-no. So the top defenseman for the Lakers will not play tonight, and they'll have to retool there as they'll take on Bowling Green tonight. And that's a big game. If the Lakers win, they have home ice in the playoffs. Otherwise, it really looks problematic for them to be able to get that, as we'll talk about the standings in a moment. But the Lakers will take on Bowling Green tonight. Same two teams at 5:35 over on today's Hits 99.5 Yes FM with the voice of Laker hockey, and that's Bill Crawford at the Able Arena. 5:35 of the pregame over on today's Hits 99.5 Yes FM. CCHA standings from last night, or CCHA games from last night. Northern Michigan took Ferris State out back behind the woodshed 7-1. Bemidji State doubles up on St. Thomas in action 4-2. And it was Minnesota State in overtime and Houghton over Michigan Tech in the Fighting Joshans. To the standings we go. CCHA, Minnesota State has 64 points, and they will win the regular season title. Michigan Tech, 54 points in second. Third is Bemidji State at 40 points. And then it gets interesting. Fourth place right now going into the final game of the regular season are the Lakers, 36 points. Northern Michigan is breathing down their necks and nipping at the heels. What other, wording you want to use there, as they have 35 points. Bowling Green is sixth with 33. Ferris State, seventh, 25. And then St. Thomas with 13. So basically, here's the gist of it. Lakers have to win tonight, I think, to get home ice next weekend, because there's too many teams battling around there, and you can't expect Northern Michigan to lose at Ferris State there. You would get into tiebreaker scenarios if Bowling Green was to beat the Lakers, because then they would even up there. So you win, your home ice. That's just the bottom line. They have to take care of it tonight. Around the nation we go. Big Ten, Notre Dame will, they get a big win in South Bend over Michigan, the second-ranked team in the country. 4-1 win for the Irish. Minnesota State blanks Wisconsin 5-0. Penn State, 2 better than Michigan State, 5-3. National Hockey Conference. This is a good game. Mikey Boo and I watched this game last night. North Dakota nips Western Michigan by a score of 2-1. Nebraska Omaha upsets Denver 5-1. St. Cloud State dumps Colorado College 4-1. Minnesota Duluth outskates Miami by a score of 4-1. Hockey East, Northeastern doubles up on Connecticut 3-1. Providence 2 better than Maine in a 4-2 win. Massachusetts drills Vermont 5-1. ECAC Cornell tops a very good Quinnipiac team 1-0. Yale 3-2 over Clarkson. Colgate upends Princeton 4-3. RPI ices Dartmouth 6-3. Brown 1-1 at St. Lawrence. Bears win it in a shootout against St. Lawrence. Union edges Harvard by a score of 5-3. Non-conference, Alaska 3-2 in overtime past Arizona State. UMass Lowell, top team in the Hockey East, wins non-league over Long Island U 5-1. Atlantic Hockey, RIT grounds Air Force 3-2 in overtime. Niagara 1-1 tie with American International. Niagara wins in a shootout, a shootout win here 2-0 over their Atlantic Hockey foes in American International. A 1-1 tie through regulation. Niagara wins it in the shootout 2-0. Holy Cross 3-2 in overtime past Bentley. Mercyhurst blanks Canisius 3-0, and Sacred Heart dumps Army 5-2. Sioux Greyhounds, another local team, big win last night. Hounds over London 6-3 at the GFL. And same two teams tonight at the GFL Memorial Gardens. Pre-game 6:35 over on Rock 101 with the voice of the Hounds, Jerry Liskam Jr. Around the O we go. Flint shuts out Sarnia 6-0 on the road. Sudbury 6-5 past Barry. Guelph takes out Windsor back behind the woodshed 7-1. Owen Sound derails Kitchener 6-2. Saginaw blasts Erie 8-1. Kingston skates past Oshawa 6-2. Hamilton blasts North Bay 7-2. And Mississauga over Niagara by a score of 3-2. To the standings in the O. Flint leads the West Division by 2 points. 64 points for the Firebirds over the Greyhounds with 62. Windsor, 5 points behind the Hounds with 57. In the overall conference standings in the Western, it's Flint atop the Western Conference with 64 points. London, top team in the Midwest Division with 60. Third is the Hounds with 62. Fourth is Windsor at 57. Guelph has fifth with 52. Owen Sound is sixth with 44. Seventh place is Kitchener. They have 42 points. And eighth, also with 42 points, is Sarnia. In the Eastern Conference, Mississauga, 68 points. Hamilton, second with 64. North Bay is third with 62. Kingston in fourth with 61. Oshawa comes in fifth with 53 points. And in sixth place, Barrie with 50. Seventh is Ottawa, 46. And the eighth and final spot right now goes to Sudbury with 41 points. Sioux Eagles on a road swing. Good night for most of the Sioux hockey teams, as we said, and the Eagles were one of them. They had a huge win on the road over a good Timmins team, 3-2. Sioux Thunderbirds ice Kirkland Lake on the road, 3-1. Eagles shift over to Cochrane tonight to tangle with the Crunch at 7. Thunderbirds on the road as well, as they'll take on Powassan. Other Noge games from last night, it was Blind River nipping Powassan 4-3. Elliott Lake squeaks by French River 5-4. And Greater Sudbury hammers Espanola by a score of 7-1. I know JHL standings in the West Division. Thunderbirds running away with that division and away from the pack at 57 points. Eagles are second with 47. Greater Sudbury's third with 43. Fourth is French River with 42. Fifth is Elliott Lake, 23. Espanola with 18. Those two teams will not make the playoffs. In the East Division, Hearst is in first with 60. Second is Powassan with 55. Timmins is third with 53. French River has 39 in fourth place. Kirkland Lake, 25 points. Cochran is sixth with seven. Both teams eliminated from playoff contention there. Sioux AAA Indians hockey, home to Lake Forest Academy today and tomorrow. Indians will take on former Laker goaltender Darren Madeley's Lake Forest Academy team. Puller Stadium, they'll drop the puck at 5:30 today. Tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the Able Arena tomorrow morning. Indians will head to the state tournament in Taylor downriver on Wednesday. One game on Wednesday. If they win two out of three in round robin play throughout the course of the week into the weekend, they could be there through Sunday into Sunday in the Motor City, and we wish the Indians good luck there. On the hardwood floor, boys basketball, disappointing loss for Sioux High. That's just the way it is. They lose at Newberry 63-60 in Straits Area Conference play. Blue Devils are now 8-10. They'll play a rescheduled game at Petoskey. Varsity will start around 1. JVs will start about 11:30 at the Sioux High gym. Boys contest from last night, it was Rudyard. They took Pickford out back behind the woodshed, 86-36. Bulldog senior E.J. Suggett becomes the scoring leader all-time in Rudyard. Boys basketball surpassing Eric Hesselink. 26 points for E.J. last night. Congratulations to the Suggetts. Flint International nips Brimley, 73-71. Alpena blasts Gaylord, 66-37. And meanwhile, Traverse City Central dribbles by Petoskey, 64-47. Cadillac upends Traverse City West, 52-25. Escanaba escapes Gladstone, 63-61. Menominee buries Marquette, 51-32. Kingsford nips Ewan Trout Creek, 64-62. Hancock throttles West Iron County, 50-19. North Central pounds Bark River, Harris, 63-37. Dollar Bay, they shoot past Ontonagon, 57-46. Lake Linden Hubble slips by Calumet, 30-27. Munising hammers Manistique, 62-40. North Dickinson, 55-44 winners over Mishagami Republic. Crystal Falls Forest Park, 57-41 over Kearney-Nadu. And Gwynn destroys Superior Central, 47-3. Girls basketball. Sioux High's regular season's over. They finish 16-4, 6-2 in league play. Blue Devils start District 34 play in semifinals on Wednesday night in Boyne City against Kalkaska. Tip-off show at 5:15 from the Wheelhouse in Boyne City here on Radio Sioux with yours truly and Ray Bell. Pat Benin will join us second half of the show here on Coach's Corner. Girls games from last night. Calumet takes Escanaba out back behind the woodshed, 67-34. Gaylord bests Alpena, 67-57, or 69-57. Cadillac takes care of TC West, 46-41. Ishpeming dribbles by Manistique, 42-28. Norway clobbers Rapid River, 55-25. Bessemer in two overtimes, 54-50, as they win in two overtimes in action last night. Barriga crushes Watersmeet by a score of 73-29, and Big Bay Dinant nips Mid-Peninsula 42-39. Laker hoops home to Michigan Tech. Women at 1, men at 3 on News Talk 1400. David John at the mic. Lake State, the men in a battle in the GLIAC four-way tie for fourth place. A lot could shake out today. Key game against the top team in the league in Michigan Tech for Steve Henniga's Lakers. GLIAC games today, Northern Michigan at Ferris. Wisconsin Parkside is in Midland to tangle with Northwood. Grand Valley State at Saginaw Valley State. Davenport is in the D taking on Wayne State. Game times, women at 1, men at 3. Those are the scores that matter. When we return in 2 minutes' time, Steve Abusta will join us here on Coach's Corner at 11:19 here on 1230 WSOO. And we're back in a little extended scores that matter, of course, given the standings and everything and a lot going on last night as we get into the playoffs. But there'll be a lot of things sliding off and the season's ending here pretty soon. And our first guest is with us. Of course, we're a good friend with Sioux High Swimming, and that's Steve Abusta. And good morning, Steve. Great to have you on here to recap the season for the Blue Devil Swimmers.
Well, good morning, Dave. Always good to be here and always appreciative to be here. Thanks for having us.
UP Finals, of course, was last week. We'll get into that in a moment. Before we delve into the UP Finals, thoughts on the overall season for Sioux High Swimming?
Yeah, another great season for us. I think across the board, we had a top to bottom, great season. You know, young boys team that really came out and did a fantastic job. And then our girls team, you know, just kind of led the way. We had a great senior class there, and they all did a wonderful job kind of leading the way for our team.
Really, the regular season, Steve, I would have to think a precursor, getting ready and stronger for the UP finals.
Yeah, and there's times that you're trying to qualify as many swimmers as possible. You know, I just tell my kids, and they keep scoring dual meets, but they don't matter. You know, we want to hide some things from other teams. We don't want to swim kids in events that they're gonna maybe swim at UP finals, so other teams don't understand you know, where our kids are. So we aim to qualify kids during those meets leading up to UP finals more so than we do look to winning them.
UP finals, as we mentioned a couple times last week, of course, at Marquette. The big highlight came with Olivia Merton on day one, capturing the diving title and coming from behind to beat a gal from Ishpeming Westwood, correct me if I'm wrong, to do that.
Yeah, really, really great, you know, back and forth with her and this diver from Ishpeming, Westwood. And so back and forth with those two girls, and Brianna Jones right there with them, our other divers. So, but then on the last dive, Olivia has the exact same dive as a girl from Westwood, and sure enough, she nails it just enough to beat her by, I think, 0.2 of a point and take home the state title. So great finish for her. Bit of a surprise for us, but we knew that she had it in her, and we knew that she could do it, and so it was great to see. And then Brianna finished third, so great way to start off UP finals for us with a first and third on the girls' side in diving.
You talk about Olivia Merton. Steve, what were her strengths on that board?
Yeah, consistency. That's her biggest strength, I think. She really is consistent with all her dives. You know, she's one of those kids who will practice kind of the same routine, the same way, and kind of nail those dives. She actually stepped up a dive towards the end of the season, which I think really helped her because that gave her, that was the last dive she did. She stepped it up at the end of the season there and nailed that dive. And so, you know, just great consistency for her. Been battling through injuries for the last couple of years and really, you know, kind of focused through that and had a great UP final championship.
Day two was the swimming portion, and how did that go?
Yeah, fantastic. You know, just starting with our girls were you know, pegged to finish second by about 40 points. I think you know, Marquette, I think their paper said Marquette squeaked out a win over us by 13 points, which is the equivalent of 3-pointer at the buzzer. You know,
okay.
we had a fantastic meet overall. Every single one of our girls had a top time, which was fantastic. Not a single one of them added time in any of their events. Just really, we gave them everything we had. We literally threw everything at Marquette that we had. They had 3 girls qualified in every event. We had 2 girls qualified in every event. So for us to only be down 13 points was something special. So Joe Arbick winning another individual event, which was great for her to see, winning the 100 freestyle. Julie Interadmer winning the 100 backstroke. Anna Hildebrand, who's had seconds all along every UP finals, I think she's had second places and keeps us in there. Really swims the role that we need her to do. Olivia Laurie, another senior girl, really stepping up for us. Lizzie Ullman swimming breaststroke at the end of the season for us. Cassandra Gallagher doing the same thing just so we could get those points that we needed. And both, you know, that whole group did fantastic. And Brimbolio, who didn't qualify for finals, but it was part of that senior class for 4 years, winning a senior class in Sioux High history for girls. So 40 years of Sioux High girls swimming, there's never been a group that has been as successful as that group.
And at 11:25, Steve Abusta, Sioux High swimming coach, joins us here. And, you know, kind of just going off of that, last several years there have been great achievements in the Blue Devil pool. And, of course, you go back as you – and now this year diving with Olivia. But you go back, as you mentioned, you know, 40 years, you know, of swimming for the girls. And there's been a lot of good moments, you know, over the years. But, you know, since your – especially your second stint, your first stint as coach, there's been some good moments at the second stint. Of course, a couple years ago, the girls won the title up in Marquette. Very hard to do, and we've talked about it. In the UP finals, traditionally are up in the western end. 1 year, I think Tony Haller was able to get them over here. But other than that, I mean, it's – you're going up there, and it's a road trip. And really, you know, a lot of great achievements with Blue Devil swimmers.
Yeah, really, you're really kind of cool to see our program progress over the years, to see the number of kids that we have go off to NCAA Division I, Division II scholarships to go off and compete at the next level. But then just to see the work the kids put in the pool. Our boys team had a fantastic season, was scheduled to finish about fifth at UP Finals, finished third, and as all young, we have one senior who was a relay swimmer, so we don't lose a whole lot there. So it's really kind of neat to see our program progress and really kind of take off. And I think it's one of the best programs, and not just the UP, but all of Northern Michigan. When you look top to bottom, I think it's hard to find a program that's had the success our program has had in putting kids to the next level.
And that's a good point, because you've had several go to the next level. You know, you could go back, several years. You know, we've seen swimmers be able to get to the college level. Colin McCrory comes to mind. He had a tremendous career at Sioux High and really did well at North Dakota. Was in the Olympic time or Olympic trials. Which tells you something right
sure.
there. That's don't get more elite than that. And then of course you mentioned Joanna Arbeck. I think she's going to go on to some college swimming, and that just helps your program in recruiting too, and getting kids into the pool, because hey, if you achieve, there's more down the road.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's one of the things that really excites us about Lake Superior State, adding men's and women's swimming
question.
And diving. Yeah, it just provides them an opportunity, some of these local kids, to swim local. How great would it be to have a Joanna Arbeck at Lake State instead of at Northern Michigan next
right.
year, you know? And so it's great to be able to have that program, and we're really excited to see how that, you know, anytime you add a college program, it's going to help your youth program, your high school program as well. So we're really excited to see that play out here.
You kind of went right, stole my thunder on
sorry.
That. Oh, that's all good. And you're able to forecast that. But, I thought of you when that happened, when they announced that was going to happen at Lake State. And we talked to Chris Dunbar, the GLIAC commissioner, of course, about it last week. What a natural thing to have as far as swimming programs and diving program at Lake State. And I know you are going to be ecstatic about that, because that pool's been there for ever. A lot of people have said, why don't we have swimmer programs up there at Lake State? But kudos to them to be able to get that. And kudos to you as well. You've been a big booster of local swimming and an advocate for it, for several years. But just a great moment, I think, for the area to have Lake State have swimming here starting next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know that the battle 4 years ago was to keep that pool open. And to see that vision shift from why are we keeping a pool open to why don't we have swimming and diving in a GLIAC conference that has six other teams in the state which offer swimming and diving. So really exciting to see the vision there from Lake State and Dr. Dials, the athletic director, and I think it's going to be a great addition to their program.
It's the other thing I was thinking, Steve, here at 11:30 on Coach's Corner here at Applebee's, as we're chatting with Steve Abusta, the Blue Devil swimming coach, when I heard that was announced, it's like, wow. You talk about the pendulum swinging. A few years ago, we had you on, talking about, and I was right there with you, fighting for to keep pools open, and they were luckily able to keep the Lake State one open, because they had to close the one at Sioux High, and you were battling and scrambling and pointing out facts, really good facts, why you do have a pool and why it is important to have swimming lessons and things of that nature, and you pointed out one of the biggest death rates among Native Americans, which we have a high population of, is drowning accidents, and I thought that was very poignant to point out. But it's funny how things have swung the other way and for the good.
Yeah, you're right. And as much as I love competitive swimming, I think the real reason why we need to keep pools around is aquatic safety. And in an area surrounded by water, if you want to get more boaters, more paddle boarders, more kayakers, more people out enjoying the water, well, then you got to be able to teach them how to swim. And so I'm so glad that Lake State's kind of caught that vision and keeping their pool open and going to add some programming to really enhance that.
And like you said, I mean, that is just a big booster for Sioux High too, to be able to have them there, because not only you mentioned maybe keeping your really good swimmers in the area, also it's a good opportunity for other ones that maybe weren't thinking about college swimming, and they'll have it right there and won't have to go very far.
Yeah, and we definitely have some coming up through the pipeline, and there's kids across the UP who are I think already able to swim at the Division II level, so we're really excited to
Rudyard
to
has
those
a
kids.
Good program right down the road.
Yeah,
and the list goes on and on.
But absolutely.
Congrats on the season.
Thank you.
Congrats again to Olivia. And that's great for Sioux High diving. And it seems like every year you come away with some kind of hardware. Marquette, I think you'll take that every year.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime we can go there and take home some championships, we'll take it.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Steve, for coming on. As always, we definitely appreciate
it. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate you.
That's Steve Abusta, the Sioux High swimming Coach, and we will continue more on Coach's Corner. This Week in High School Sports is coming up next, and then Coach Bennin is here. Pat Bennin will be here to talk Blue Devil girls basketball, and we'll be back here in a little bit. This is Coach's Corner at Applebee's. We'll take a two-minute break, This Week in High School Sports, and then Coach Bennin will be along here at Applebee's on 1230 WSOO. Because everybody wants to hear what Coach Bennett has to say.
Yeah, as always.
Pat Bennett's with us, Sioux High girls basketball coach. Welcome in, Coach, as always. Great to have you here. And, of course, we look at back at the season first. 16-4, 6-2 in the Straits Area Conference. Not bad for Sioux High looking back at the regular season. And your thoughts on the regular campaign, Pat?
You know, I thought we had an outstanding season. And, you know, I think sometimes people take for granted how hard it is to go 16-4, especially with the stretch we played. And, you know, I mean, I look back at, and I just want to throw this out that, you know, for the last 3 years, we've lost 7 basketball games. And you know, and a lot of these kids are a big part of that. And that's pretty impressive. And, you know, I think it kind of goes unnoticed a lot, other than you guys and maybe, you know, the evening news. There's not a lot coming out of our building, I guess is what I'll leave that at, you hear a lot about our kids, and I think they deserve a little recognition for what they've done. This year, I thought they had an outstanding season. You know, and it was a tough season because we had a real tough stretch right out of the gate in, you know, playing Gaylord, St. Agnes, Mona Shores, DeWitt, Escanaba, Marquette. That was a tough road to hoe, and then we battled injuries, but, you know, and we managed to come out of there alive at 5-3, and then managed to have a heck of a second half of the year, and I think we're peaking at the right time. I thought we got contributions up and down the lineup. When you look at all 11 kids really contributed this year in some way, shape, or form, and you know, that's a sign of a great team. And what I really like about this team is they really have gelled together as the year progressed. You know, we didn't know exactly what we had coming in. We knew we had Claire coming back, and we knew we had McKenzie that played for us last year, but then these other kids had to kind of feel their way out. You know, those 4 seniors that are there didn't get a ton of time last year, but they learned in practice, and they've stepped on the floor, and they've really done a tremendous job filling roles and being leadership on the court and off the court. So, you know, I'm happy with this season. You know, and I think, like I said, sometimes I think people just expect that Sioux High girls are going to win 15, 16 games every year. And it's not easy, and it's a credit to these kids. I'm not throwing any pub my way. This is all about them, and they've done an outstanding job, and they've done an outstanding job for the last 3 years. And sometimes I think they take it for granted, and they don't even realize how lucky they have it with such a great team right now.
Scott Nason and I waved the pom-poms for you last Saturday, so it's all right.
No, you guys do. Yeah. I'm just talking other sources of avenues that maybe should be talking about these kids a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you always are like that, Pat. You're very classy about it. I pointed on the kids, but you let the guys on the fringe lines there, the grunts, that the schlubs that just talking to a microphone give you kudos, and because you have. And you've been there a long time, and Pat and Ray and I talked about it the other night during the Newberry game, that the consistency, you know, yeah, there's been no bottomed out where you see a lot of programs because it's high school sports. And I think it's a credit to you. It's credit to all the coaches you've had. And how about the lower levels too? I mean, your feeder system has been very strong, and it's a collective effort, but you know, you have to take a little credit in that too. And of course with countless others.
Yeah. I mean, we have tremendous coaching across the board, and yet we put hours in, and it's not just me. I, you know, between from elementary basketball to middle school to the freshman to the JV, and you know, I got Jim and I got Scott and I got a lot of coaches there helping out day in and day out. But it takes work. But I've always said that it's not a top down process; it's a bottom up process. And if you want to build a program, you know, I talked to Tracy Hudson over in Escanaba a lot, and we always talk about it. You got to be willing to work with the young kids and get them better and get them to recognize your face out there, and then that builds that program from the bottom up, and that's where you get success. You know, you're not always going to have great teams, and that's why I think these last 3 years have been it's been special to watch. And you know, unfortunately with COVID, I think that team was really something special.
Yeah.
But you know, you just look at it, and you got it. The only way you can stay consistent and be successful is to work your tail off, and we do that as a program, and it's great to see. And the kids are, you know, work hard, and there's other, you know, parents get involved with the AAU and everything else, but it is truly in the last 17 years we haven't lost a ton of ball games, and we've been very successful. But that's credit to the kids and the other coaches. They get a tremendous amount of success for that, and they're very much underappreciated a lot of times.
Sioux High girls basketball coach Pat Bennin with us. And Pat, you look at strengths of the team this year, you know, you look at it, it's very nice to see this being a strength, and that is your front court. You have depth, a lot of depth there, and we'll start with them. And, you know, there's been years that you didn't have bigs at all, and
right.
you had to kind of just go with speed, and you luckily had the strong guards, but you had no size in a low post, and now you go four deep, I would say five deep, because Audrey Smith plays much bigger than her frame down there, and it's just nice to see.
Yeah, you know, you start with the two of Laura and Claire. They're outstanding down there, and they are really put an effort into being a good post players. And then you can bring in a Hannah Evo, who's a different style of kid, probably more physical than those two, and she'll bang around there. And Hannah Maurer kind of is the unsung kid that will get rebounds, and she can post up too. I mean, she doesn't score a tremendous amount, but she does all the little things right well.
You can stretch her out inside, outside.
Yes, and she can defend different style of kids. And then you throw Audrey Smith in it. There's a kid that a lot of people, you know, there's games.
She's a bulldog.
Right. There's games where it's not her style of game, and she understands that, and will limit with maybe playing only at 2 or 3 minutes. And then there's other games where she's going to get 16, 17 minutes because it's physical and it's her type of game. And the one thing she does do extremely well is when she gets the ball, she's going downhill. She's going to get to the free throw line. We all laugh. She doesn't like to go there because it's not her favorite spot to shoot from. But, you know, she does do a lot of things well. And for the first time in a long time, that is our strength right now, is the ability to go inside. And I shouldn't say the first time in a long time, because a couple years ago with Claire and Julia, we had a pretty good inside
yes.
punch then too. But, you know, it's nice to see. And I think our guards, Kenzie, Taylor, Sage, and they've developed, Ella Marchand, they've really developed into growing up as guards. They've been thrown to the fire because Lily Alaspa has been handling the ball for 3 years, and now here you go, take this over. And we had to learn with some mistakes. We saw them early on, but they have gotten progressively better as well.
Pat Bennett, Suhai, girls basketball coach with us here at Coach's Corner at Applebee's at 11:46 as we roll along here. And you know, Pat, the thing I've noticed, you know, going back, and I read your quotes on the Escanaba win the other night on the road, and you know, I've been noticing it too. When your team really locks down defensively, boy, it's very hard to get through them, and that just seems to be the case. They're bearing down lately, and that's great to see that just that intensity on the defensive end.
Well, at this time of year, you have to play solid defensive basketball to be successful, and that's where the length, the size you talk about is such a nice thing to have, because you can extend your pressure without fear of getting beat, because you have all that length behind you, and it makes it difficult to hit tough shots. And the way the game has changed a little bit, you know, you're more apt to give up right now the 15, 18-foot shot. Don't give up the threes. Don't give up layups. And see if people can hit what now is the term tough twos. Can they hit the 15, 18-foot jump shot that seemed to disappear out of the game of basketball quite a bit? But, you know, I think that's where our length, our defensive pressure has been outstanding. And the other night, we flipped a little bit. I listened a little bit of your broadcast this morning, and we came out and didn't go man-to-man full court. We went into a 1-2-2 pressure that we've been working on, and it's been effective, and we've been throwing that in sporadically. So we're able to change that pressure defense up a little bit, and you know, hopefully it all comes together here next week, because this is an exciting time of the year for these kids. They really enjoy this, and you know, it's March, and it's fun.
You know, your guard play, you know, start of the year is like, well, you know, looking for the depth there. Kenzie Bell, having her, she's been a good leader. But now we're starting to see kids like Taylor Pratt really playing well, Sage and Nolan. And this kid here that I'm going to mention might be a Prof Lunch Pail kid. She might join Val Gage down the road. I really like Ella Marchand, and she's really ascending.
Yeah, she is, and she plays hard. You know, I mean, she's a different style player than what the rest of them are. She can get to the basket and get downhill quick. She's not a natural point guard, but she's a natural scorer, and she'll get on the floor, and she's very good defensively, getting
yes.
loose balls and things like that. So, yeah, you know, at the beginning of the year,
she's
remember.
She's a pest.
She is, and we went down and played Moda Shores in Sheboygan, and my old buddy Jason Purcell and Friday were both there, and they both said to me, well, you don't have the guard play you had over the years. And I said, no, but then we went and played down at Petoskey, and Purcell's down there, and he said, your guard play has come 10 times since I saw you in December. And I said, yeah, you know, I mean, it's a work in progress, because these kids, they're good guards. It's just they didn't play it a whole lot last year because they weren't
right.
necessarily have to do it. It takes time, and they've adapted, and Mackenzie has really stepped into a great role. She's our primary ball handler and point guard, and she's taken that role on and accepted it. And her and I have gone up and down and argued a little bit here and there off the court about what we think should happen. But at the end of the day, I tell her, I have your back. I trust you with the ball. You got to understand that The ball's going to be in your hands. If you make a mistake, coach is going to be a little upset, but we'll move on.
So now on to the district tournament. Kalkaska is the opponent coming up on Wednesday night at the Wheelhouse in Boyne City. We'll have it here on 5:15 of the tip-off show as the Prof and Ray traveling show will start. And Kalkaska is the opponent, and albeit, you know, yeah, they're winless in the regular season. Throw that out. And, you know, I look at it last year. They only had a few more wins what they have this year. But in that first half, they were right there tooth and nail with Suhai. So you never know come postseason play. I don't care what the record is.
Well, I reminded them of that already. That, you know, last year we remember walking into that locker room at halftime. We were in a dogfight and able to get it out there. And records go out the window now, tournament time. You know, I'm sure they're playing better than they did at the beginning of the year. I've seen a couple films on them. I mean, yeah, we should be the favorite to win that game. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we're not better than they are on paper. But it's on paper. We got to go out perform, but you know, and I think we will. And I thought Thursday was a little bit of a tune-up for us. I talked to them about we got to come out, get off to a good start, and just keep that momentum going and play at your level. Don't bring your level of play down as the game progresses. And it's hard because when you're up 40-6 at half, that was the other challenge I talked to them about. It's okay now. Second half here, we got to come back out play again, and it's hard to keep your kids motivated. But I thought they did a pretty good job of doing that, and you know, I think we're in the right direction right now, and we're only going to take it one. You know me, I'm only going to look at one game at a time. Yes. I don't even know what's going on. I know what's going on the other side, but I'm not looking ahead. You can't look ahead, and I think I got Jim, my cousin who's my assistant, always says be where your feet are at that moment, and our feet have got to be Wednesday night against Kalkaska.
Yes, Bill Belichick bet, and it's on to Kalkaska. It's on to Kalkaska. Of course, the other half of the district, I'll go ahead and just mention it. Kingsley's the 2 seed. They await the winner of Monday night's game in the Wheelhouse between Sheboygan and Boyne City in Boyne City on Monday, and then the winner will take on Kingsley in the second game after the Suhai-Kalkaska game a little after 7 from Boyne City on Wednesday night. The district final is Friday, and that will be at 7 as well. Now I'll have you take your coaching hat off for a second. Put your analyst hat on, your coaching speak pin. Throw that away for a moment as well. And just look at the overall landscape. You know, you look at over in District 33, it's a flip of coin. There's good teams over there. Houghton, of course, really good record. You had Nagani, solid. But, you know, you and I were saying off the air, cannot discount Escanaba.
No.
And your thoughts on that district over there. Of course, the winner of that district plays the winner of the district Suhai's in on Tuesday, the following Tuesday in Manistique. But that is going to be competitive.
That's going to be a good district. And, you know, you got, you know, I saw the other day, even Kingsford, I mean, they got punched out by Gladstone in overtime, who just beat Escanaba the other day. So they're coming on, too. So I'm sure Houghton can't look past them either. But, you know, and Nagani and Escanaba. Nagani's got a really good post player, an outstanding shooter. Total different style than you'll see from Escanaba. They're the slow down, the old Western End style Menominee type team where they're going to slow you down. They're going to take 1 minute possessions and pound the ball inside. They're going to shoot the three well. They don't like to really run up and down the floor, so your goal is to try to get them up and down the floor. And that's, I'm thinking, what Escanaba is going to have to do to beat them, because if they get in a half-court game, they could be in trouble. But again, I don't know. I mean, Houghton's sitting there 16-4, or I think maybe
16-3.
Yeah, they've lost to Hancock twice, and I think Calumet once. So, you know, I mean, they're very good. We saw them this summer up at Lake State, and they were missing one kid, and they were solid there. So, you know,
Julie's still there, coaching.
Julie's still there, so that's going to be a great, and she's coming at you man-to-man. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get a fundamentally sound team that's going to play man, set good screens, very similar to a Ben Smith-type team from Marquette, but very athletic right now. So that's going to be interesting, and for ours, I'll play a little procrastinating there. I know everybody wants to look at Kingsley, but don't count out Sheboygan, I'm telling you. And I said this the other day. Off the schedule Sheboygan has to play gets them tournament ready so much better than a lot of teams. And I'm not discrediting what Boyne City and Kingsley play, but they just don't play the same style of competition that Sheboygan has to play, or even we have to play night in and night out. And that's going to be a factor for them, and that always is a factor when they played Boyne, because everybody was last year was, oh, Boyne City, be ready. And Sheboygan went out and beat them on that night, and then we ended up playing them in the district final. So, you know, for us, I don't know who's going to come out of that end. And, you know, we got to be ready against Kalkaska. And that's what makes this time of year so much fun. Anything can happen on any given night. You got to be ready to play every minute, every possession, or you can get knocked off.
Should be some fun. We'll be in Boyne City with you on Wednesday night, Pat. Always thanks for coming on, and we'll be
just,
talking.
Don't bring Menard with you, hey? He's bad luck.
No, well, you know, he did reach out this morning and said, make sure to keep her away from the donuts. The thing is, when he's here, got to keep him away from the kitchen here at Applebee's.
Yeah, I bet.
Looking to steal French
just
fries.
Hey, don't put him on as an analyst, and he can't ride with me to the games anymore. I mean, one time he went.
Ray is there for the long haul.
That's
so
good.
So we'll keep the lucky rabbit's foot from Das Gift House with us here, the former Bays coach. Thanks again, Pat. We'll see you on Wednesday.
All right, thanks, Dave.
All right, that's the head coach of Sioux High Girls Basketball. Back in 1 minute with What's on Deck and a close-up shop here at Coach's Corner from Applebee's on 1230 WSOO. And welcome back to Coach's Corner here at Applebee's on the, of course, I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan, as Pat Bennin joining us this morning here on Coach's Corner along with Steve Abusta. We thank those guys for coming on. It's time to look at What's on Deck as the broadcast we have on our radio stations at Sovereign Communications. Laker hoops home to Michigan Tech today. Women at 1, men at 3 over on News Talk 1400 at David John. There'll be a new episode as well. Full court press on EUP boys basketball will be released today with on thegamesportshow.com with Scott Nason and Matt Johnson. Tonight, Laker hockey, final regular season game, senior night at the Able Arena. 5:35 pregame, and of course the Lakers will take on Bowling Green, and then the voice of Laker hockey, Bill Crawford, will have the call tonight. And Sioux Greyhounds will host London tonight, the GFL Memorial Garden, 6:35 of the pregame, and Rock 101. Detroit Red Wing hockey, 7:15 from the Little Caesars Arena against the Toronto Maple Leafs in action there. And meanwhile, Sunday night, it's Piston basketball, 6:45 against Charlotte over on News Talk 1400. The game on News Talk 1400 on Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Scott Nason for Sault Ste. Marie's only local, regional, national sports show. It's a local guest in the first hour, Dave McKeag from Sioux, Ontario, joins to talk about the north side of the St. Mary's. And, of course, NOJHL, OHL, and NHL talk. Butch on Sports and the game co-host Butch Davis joins in the second hour with Scott Nason on the game Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. over on News Talk 1400. And Tuesday, it's the Laker Hockey Show at noon over on News Talk 1400. And it will be, of course, Laker hockey coach Damon Witten and the voice of Laker hockey, Bill Crawford, a player interview in the second half of Laker Hockey Show and much more. It's the Laker Hockey Show, noon to 1, Tuesday, over on News Talk 1400. Sioux Eagles hockey Tuesday night. Scott Nason will have the call against the Greater Sudbury Cubs on News Talk 1400. And Rob Horn will join Scotty for that call at 7 o'clock. Wednesday night, Sioux High girls basketball in the Division II District 34 semifinals. Blue Devils will take on the Kalkaska Blazers. Tip-off show from the Wheelhouse in Boyne City comes your way at 5:15 with Ray Bell and yours truly here on 1230 WSOO, 1230WSOO.com, and the TuneIn app as well. EUP Game of the Week. It's a doubleheader from Brimley and the Parker Gym on Country 105 Wednesday night. Casey Cook at the Division IV District 102 semifinals. Brimley hosts the Engadine Bay Mills Ojibwe Charter winner at 6. Then Rudyard will battle Newberry. Both games on Country 105 in action there. And that's What's on Deck. And we would like to thank our guests today here at Coach's Corner. And that has been Sioux High swimming coach Steve Abusta, along with Blue Devil girls basketball coach Pat Bennin, for coming on the program. Coach's Corner returns next Saturday, 11:05 a.m. till noon, here on Radio Sioux at Applebee's. Replays of Coach's Corner can be heard at podcast.1230wsoo.com. Coach's Corner is a sports presentation at 1230 WSOO. For our broadcast engineer, Izzy Stratton, the gang here at Applebee's, I'm Dave Watson. That will do it for now. Until next time, we are out of here.